Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. This weekend, there has been a lot of news in Colorado with the efforts of Colorado Right to Life to impede the building of the country's largest abortion facility right here in Denver by the Weitz Corporation. So we'll talk about some of that media, including a picture of my son, my six-year-old son Dominic, in today's Rocky Mountain News. What is that on page 4? And that was at a protest yesterday. I wasn't there. I was flying back from San Antonio, Texas, where we had a tremendous time at a film festival, the San Antonio Independent Christian Film Festival. What a great time that was. And I want to tell you about that. In fact, I'll start with that. Our DVD, it was produced by Jason Troyer. He's a board member with Colorado Right to Life. And it's called Focus on the Strategy 2. Well, it made it to the finalist stage at this film festival. And what a festival it was. There were 1,000 people in attendance, 120 films submitted, and two-thirds of those were rejected. So 39 films became semifinalists. And there were 11 documentaries, and it turned out that the documentaries, that category was the strongest category in the film festival, stronger even than the narratives and so on, because it was two documentaries that won the main two awards, the Best of Festival Film and the Runner-Up Best of Festival. So of the 11 documentaries that were semifinalists, by the awards banquet Saturday night, that had been whittled down to 5. And so the announcer said, and now for our finalists in the documentary category. And wow, the competition was just excellent. The two films that won, one was called The Monstrous Regiment of Women. What a job exposing the brutality and hatred of feminism and abortion, and what a contrast they showed with godly women, Christian women. And the other, A Cry from Iran, that had a $70,000 budget, and it was made by two sons memorializing their Christian father in Iran, who was murdered by Islamic extremists because he would not shut up. Instead, he kept promoting the gospel of Jesus Christ and winning over many Iranians to the gospel. And then that man's name, his first name was Haik. And after Haik was murdered, then a half a dozen or so other Christian leaders were murdered in Iran by Muslims who believe in an Islamic state and that only Islam would be allowed to function openly. So that was a powerful video. That was runner-up of the festival. And then the Best of Festival Film was The Monstrous Regiment of Women. Just tremendous. So we only made it to finalists, but still it was very worth it. And the judges, there were 5 judges who made these determinations, and we were thrilled with those judges. In fact, 3 of them came up to us or recognized us at the film festival and made wonderfully positive comments about the message of Focus on the Strategy 2. In fact, one of the judges, and these are names that you would recognize if we were to name them, but I don't want to do that. But one of the judges said to us, he said, you crystallized it when you said, any law that says, and then you could kill the baby, is a bad law. We as Christians need to oppose any law that says, and then you could kill the baby. So the judges who saw it, the screening at the film festival of the entire film, the fabulous reception we got there, the people who came up to us, thanked us for the talk show on the radio at KGov.com, thanked us for the old Bob and Yurt Live TV show. Very encouraging. So, and we made new relationships and renewed old acquaintances. So with Jason Troyer and I in San Antonio. Oh, and what am I forgetting? Oh, yeah, the Alamo. Got to remember the Alamo. We went to the Alamo, of course. I've been there before, but what a time to think about the sacrifice that people make so that others could have freedom after them. And it was just a great trip. Okay. Also, on Friday, while I was traveling, you all got to listen to a debate I had on Thursday with Greg Kokel, who's a Christian leader, stand to reason out of California, what, almost a 20-year talk show host, radio talk show host. And he is actually, and he also teaches pro-lifers around the country how to defend the pro-life position. And he's actually supporting Rudy Giuliani, which is horrendous. So we could take calls about any of these issues on our website, kgov.com. Now there is, you can find my notes that I used in the debate with Greg Kokel. So if you enjoyed that show, you could go to kgov.com. Just click on that show and you get all the notes, the Bible verses, and so on in that debate. Let's go to Michigan. Tom, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hi, Bob.
Hello, sir. What's up?
I had a few comments about Friday's debate.
Please do.
Greg Kokel seemed to really take issue with you calling Giuliani a mass murderer. He said that he's never committed murder.
Yes.
And I wonder if he would say the same thing about Hitler.
Well, because Hitler didn't actually get his hands on anyone to kill that person personally.
Right.
Of course, that would be an absurd claim. Hitler is a mass murderer. When leaders have policies that result in the killing of the innocent, the intentional killing of the innocent, then they're guilty of murder. That's conspiracy to murder and accomplice to murder. And of Rudy Giuliani, of course, he promoted abortion through public schools and tax subsidies and used the police and the authority of the police to promote abortion and protect abortion. So, yeah, Rudy Giuliani is a mass murderer. What a shame.
But,
yeah, go ahead.
At one point, it seemed like he was suggesting that Giuliani was, maybe he was like Oscar Schindler, and he's actually a closet pro-lifer trying to save babies and just puts on a front like he's pro-abortion.
Yeah,
would he even suggest something like that? There's no evidence whatsoever to suggest that Giuliani's actually pro-life in any way.
Yeah, Giuliani is a hardcore child killer, and I pointed out that while Hitler was opposing partial birth abortion for years, Giuliani was supporting it. So how about that? By his principle, then perhaps we should vote for Hillary.
He also seemed to become incredulous when he suggested that maybe a politician might be lying about something.
Yeah, right.
You said that Giuliani, he's a murderer, and his promise to appoint conservative judges is a lie. And they're just, oh, come on, Bob.
Yeah, how
really?
Could that?
I mean,
how could that possibly?
Lying?
Right. How could a murderer possibly lie, and a politician, no less, and during a campaign, and during the Republican nomination process? How could he possibly be lying?
As if that's never happened to pro-lifers before.
Yeah, right. And Giuliani said openly in a debate, he said, look, I'm committed to appoint strict constructionist judges, and if those judges say that abortion should be legal by their interpretation of the Constitution, then so be it. That's,
well, that's
what he
what
said.
That's what our guys said. That's what our so-called pro-life
You're right, because they're so utterly confused. That's right.
You can be a... If you're appointed by a Republican, you can say any pro-abortion thing and still be labeled pro-life by your typical conservative talk show host.
Yeah, that's right.
And Christian leader. I don't understand why everyone's so excited that Giuliani says he's going to appoint Scalia's when Scalia is openly pro-abortion, well, pro-choice by state, and says that if the majority within a state wants to have legalized abortion, then the government has no place in
denying them that right. And Clarence Thomas says the same. He says, and he said this in a Supreme Court ruling, and 15 years ago in Casey. He said, if society decides, if they weigh the right to life of the unborn and the freedom to kill the unborn, if society weighs and they come down in favor of the freedom to kill the unborn, then society has the right to do that. And, of course, I as a judge would uphold that right. These guys reject the God-given right to life. So Kokel, Greg Kokel, Stand to Reason, he was arguing that we need Giuliani because he will nominate judges like Scalia and Thomas. And okay. I said, well, Scalia and Thomas reject the God-given right to life. And I gave him evidence for that, and he says, well, I don't know what that has to do with the debate. That's irrelevant. What does it matter whether they're pro-life or not?
Why are you bringing up this side issue?
Yeah, right. And he's the one who argued that's why I would support somebody like Rudy Giuliani, who's obviously hostile to all Christian morality. So, Tom, I made this argument. I said to him that the theme of most of the Old Testament is that Israel, as a nation, they made alliances with the wicked. They did not trust or obey God. Instead, they gave their loyalty to the wicked, to murderers, to the sexually immoral, and God therefore abandoned them to their own destruction. And what an exact parallel to what so many Christians are asking us to do in endorsing and aligning ourselves with a murderer, sexually immoral leader like Rudy Giuliani. And then you have the Herodians in the Gospels. Did you hear that part of the argument?
Yes.
And
yes, that the Herodians thought that supporting Herod, who was a murderer and an adulterer, was their best bet of, that they weren't, that Herod wasn't as bad as the Romans.
Yeah, and so we have the four Gospels. We have the Gospels mentioning the Herodians. They were a religious political sect that was very pragmatic. They decided, hey, we'll support the Herodian dynasty because that's our best bet. That's the lesser of two evils. We think we could get more done supporting this murderous adulterer. And what a parallel. And, of course, Greg Kokel simply dismissed these things. He advocated doing the lesser of two evils. I gave him the analogy of there are two men want to break into a school. One wants to kill all the students. Another wants to kill 10 of the students. Which will you support? And he basically said he'd support the one that wants to kill 10 students.
He absolutely did.
Yeah, you know, and I think Germany, I gave him he brought up Germany, and so I gave him the example of provinces in Germany, districts, where between the Nazis and the communists, those two parties got the majority votes. They got majority votes between those two parties. And so what? Then Germans should support either the Stalinist or Hitler? Is that the point?
Well, at one point he said that under certain circumstances he would support Hillary.
He would support Hillary.
Which came to show,
that's right.
So, I mean, that was pretty revealing, I thought. You know, I think Christians and pro-lifers are so used to the idea of overturning Roe v. Wade as being our end game that we really haven't thought through what happens after that. Let's say, sort of like the partial birth abortion ban fixation. Let's say that we do get another judge like Roberts and Alito and Thomas and Scalia, and so we've got five who want to overturn Roe v. Wade, and they do it. It's very likely that decision will be kind of like the partial birth abortion ban, explicitly saying that states are allowed to legalize abortion and that the government, the federal government, won't step in.
Right.
And then we'll be back to square one, and we'll have zero judges, and we'll have to spend the next half century or more trying to get judges to replace the ones that we were cheering for.
And not only that, we have National Right to Life, who spent the last 20 years leading Christians to think that Scalia and Thomas are pro-life when they're not. They're pro-choice. And now Roberts and Alito, National Right to Life has admitted that neither of them, they both refused to join in with the call to overturn Roe v. Wade in the last abortion decision in April.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Roberts and Alito refused to join in on the minority opinion that Roe v. Wade should be overturned. And so they're saying, James Bopp, their attorney, is saying, we don't know if these two recent nominees would even overturn Roe v. Wade. We have no idea.
Wow.
And so that's how broken, and once you compromise on God's enduring commands, then your reasoning is broken, and you have compromised at the most fundamental level of do not murder. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Bob.
I appreciate that very much. So the nation was somewhat aware of our protest here against the White's Construction Company, not the whole nation, but out-of-state media had been reporting on it, and now the Colorado media has caught up, and the Rocky Mountain News, the Denver Post, Channel 9 have all weighed in, and there is a column in yesterday, Sunday Denver Post, by Al Lewis, and it starts out, "One man's construction project is another man's Nazi death camp." And that's a good lead, and you know it's true. Germany did not come right out of the Dark Ages to slaughter millions of innocent people. Germany was, what, the most advanced? If you look at education and the arts and a secular worldview and a desire for improving people's quality of life, Germany was at the forefront of civilization in Europe. And they built death camps. And so if a construction company knew that they were building a camp that would be used to intentionally kill the innocent, what, there's no moral culpability there? Of course there is. So one man's construction project is another man's Nazi death camp. It depends. If you're building a death camp, then it should be both men's death camp. Both should at least agree. And the White's Corporation is digging in. They're saying, yeah, we don't care. Planned Parenthood is going to kill unborn children. They say that's an emotional issue. That's an important issue, but we don't care. We're out for the money. If it's blood money, so be it. Let's go to the phones. I think that debate with Greg Kokel that aired on our station Friday and about 20 other stations on Thursday, I think that was perhaps one of the more important shows we've done this past year. Let's go to Denver, Colorado. Dave, welcome to Bob and Yart Live.
Hey, Bob. How's it going?
Good, sir.
What's up with Greg Kokel?
Well, that was, I know many people were frustrated to hear that moral relativism coming from a man who is a Christian apologist and a teacher of so many.
It's amazing that you mentioned that, but the thing that really got me about the interview was his unbridled arrogance and anger at you, as if to actually upset the Republican Party is like a cardinal sin, as opposed to the cardinal sin of abortion.
Yeah, I think you have the Republican Party becoming an idol, a god.
Absolutely.
And the ultimate allegiance to countless Christians, most likely millions of Christians, who will disobey God in order to get a Republican victory.
Yeah.
And when you go down that path, all we have to do is look back at the last decades to see the vile wickedness that was passed into law by Republicans at local and federal levels and see what it gets you. You don't do evil that good may come of it. The Apostle Paul said that it was slanderous to say that he would do evil that good might come of it. And that has gone from being slanderous 2,000 years ago to being the strategy of the Christian right in America. Let's all do evil that good might come of it.
Of course, that never works. And it's amazing how far this nation has fallen since 1973. It's just absolutely amazing. It's like we have the candidates for the two major parties. Neither of them supports life. And I think any nation that doesn't respect life is deserves to be destroyed.
Well, that's true. You know, the world is deserving of God's judgment and punishment. And I believe today the way judgment comes on nations today is that they turn their back on God.
Yes.
And then they lose the strength that comes from wisdom and righteousness and courage. They lose that because they've made themselves the enemies of God. Dave, thank you so much for your call.
You're welcome, Bob.
Appreciate that. So in the Rocky Mountain News today, there's a photo, a pretty large photo on page 4, and the caption says, Dominic Enyart, 6, age 6, plays with a dog. They don't have the name of the dog. What's the dog's name? The dog's name is Grayson. See, inside scoop here. Dominic Enyart, 6, plays with Grayson, who's a dog, at an anti-abortion protest at the Lakewood home of Gary Megason, an executive with a construction company that is doing work for Planned Parenthood. Dominic came with his grandmother, Connie Sharon of Arvada. And the article written by Julie Pompano of the Rocky Mountain News, it's out today. And let me just bring a couple excerpts to you. As they have several times, a group of abortion foes marched in front of the home of Gary Megason, senior vice president of the White's company Rocky Mountain business office. 45 protesters walked through the neighborhood. Is that a pretty accurate number? Just over 50. I think it was 53. The demonstrators prayed and sang about Jesus' love of babies. They were peaceful yet determined. Yeah. Neighbors Jim and Sarah Hopfenbeck. Now, this happens at every such protest, and this is expected. You could write this script in advance. We know because we've been doing these protests at homes for 15 to 20 years, and there has been a commitment made in Denver to view the White's Corporation as the target of the Collaborators Project nationwide, and to, in hopes of deterring others from collaborating with child killers, the protest will continue at the White's executives' homes for as many years as Planned Parenthood is killing children at this facility, should they go ahead and build it, which they have begun working on it now. So let's see. Neighbors Jim and Sarah Hopfenbeck, who were walking their dogs, passed by the demonstrators. We are good Christians, and we support our neighbors, Jim Hopfenbeck said. And that goes without saying today, right? Good Christians, even pro-life Christians. This goes without saying around the country, because of the moral relativism that has permeated the body of Christ, because Christians are now handicapped in their ability to know right from wrong, pro-life Christians support the right to build abortion clinics. They just do that. And so Jim Hopfenbeck said, we are good Christians and we support our neighbors. Sarah Hopfenbeck added, his job is what his job is. If anything, this has galvanized neighbors in support of Megason. So, yeah, his job is what his job is. That's what the guards at Auschwitz said. The people who kill the innocent, the people who were collaborators, that's what they said. The judges at Nuremberg said it was our job. That's your defense. That's like, remember the LA riots over Rodney King and the acquittal in his case of the LA cops who beat him? And so the rioters, like the guys who beat Reginald Denny, a white truck driver who was coming through during a riot, their defense in court was, Your Honor, it was a riot. What did you expect us to do? It was a riot. We were rioting. What do you expect? And so it's my job. What do you expect? It's my job. They want to kill kids. They need a building to kill kids. It's my job to build buildings, so I'm going to build them a good building out of which they can kill kids. What do you expect? So Gary Megason said to the Rocky Mountain News, our business is building, and that's where we draw the line. So I guess if the KKK wanted them to build maybe a gallows to lynch blacks, they would say, hey, it's our business to build. If they wanted to ask them to build a cross to re-crucify the Lord of Glory, they'd say, hey, we wash my hands. Just like Pilate washed his hands, and we wash our hands. So we'll build it. If we build it, they will come. So we build it. Our business is building, and that's where we draw the line. These folks have crossed the line by attacking neighborhoods. So they do believe in a standard of right and wrong, but killing kids and facilitating and being a collaborator for killing kids, that's right, and causing grief to those who kill kids is wrong. See, everybody has a standard. It's just, where is the standard? And in God's word, God said, do not kill the innocent. Do not kill the innocent, and don't stand back and let them die. Do what you can to stop those who would kill the innocent. So we got a letter from a businessman down south, and this is an interesting letter, and it went to Will Duffy, who's the president of a Colorado Right to Life chapter, and this businessman asked to forward this letter to the Weitz Corporation. Let me read it to you. October 29th, 2007, Dear Mr. Will Duffy, please forward this letter. And by the way, we've confirmed this came from a very successful executive down south. Please forward this letter to the Weitz Corporation. I am a VP of a $100 million company with 32 branches and growing throughout the Southeast. If Weitz, and by the way, they're the oldest national construction company in America, and they're also the 14th largest. They built Columbine. They have an accusation against them of being racist. So, they get in the news in different ways. Anyway, if Weitz goes forward and builds this abortion facility, I will do everything in my power to ensure we never use Weitz, and I will speak with a few other like-minded corporations in our region. In our own company, we are involved in a substantial construction, and I will oppose the use of Weitz. I really hope they change their minds and do the right thing. Regards, and then his name and his phone number. So that's being passed on to Weitz regional headquarters in Des Moines, where protests have occurred and will occur, including at the homes of their president, CEO, and so on, and to their executives here in the Rocky Mountain region. Okay, we are out of time. Our website is kgov.com. Please, if you can, please go to our website. You can listen to old shows. You can search for programs. We have a summary of each program, a lot of helpful information there. And you can click on our store, and every time someone purchases something from our store, boy, does that help us get the word out and to stay on the air and on the internet. The Maranatha Christian Center, what a great school. Maranatha.